Okay, morning. We're on Baba Metzia, Daf Gimel. Okay, so we ended off yesterday. We're trying to prove whether it could be Sumchus. Take two, right? Baba Metzia, whether it could be Sumchus or not Sumchus. And we said, remember, Sumchus says, it's written down there, Michael, what Sumchus says, right? Mamun Amut Abbasafek Chokin, right? Amar Sumchus without a shvur, right? Sumchus says that where there's no drarid de mamon, it's not a guaranteed situation, right? Where there's drarid de mamon, right? That there's going to be a chisaron, that if one of them pays not kedin, says Rashi, he's going to cause the guy monetary loss, right? And therefore he's going to lose. But hecha deleika drarid de mamon, maybe Sumchus would say no, then maybe he'd say that you should make a shvur. When don't you make a shvua with the drarid de mamona? If there's no drarid de mamona, then he'd be happy with our mishnah to make a shvua. So the Gemara says, no, it can't be. Why? It's a kavah chomer the other way around. Uma hatav nika drarid de mamona lemar, v'ika drarid de mamona lemar. In the case where you know that it's definitely going to be a case of one of them is going to look around, as if a henshim afsit achetzi, shlokadina tam mechashon, you're causing the guy to lose monetary loss. And there he says, when you're definitely going to lose money, you don't have to make a shvua. So in our case, where there isn't going to be loss of money, why should you have to make a shvua? Well, if there is going to be loss of money, you don't need a shvua, then obviously where there isn't loss of money, why would he want you to make a shvua? Okay? So this should be clear now. So if our mishnah, we said you make a shvua, can't be like sumchus. So the Gemara says, no, afilu taimus sumchus. It can still be sumchus. Right? Why? Because shvua zubid rabbanani. When Sumchus said there with the story of the, what was it, with the eagle and the, with the shore and the pyro, right? That, no, Mamon Basafek, that's when we're saying that you don't make a Shvua Midoraita. But maybe it's a Shvua Drabanan, a different story altogether. Maybe in a Shvua Drabanan, even Sumchus would agree that you could make a Shvua Drabanan. And what's it based on? Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says later in Asugyan, this is Shabbos' daf. Shvua zu takanat chachamimi. And what's the idea of this shvua? Shelo ye, kol echad v'chad, lech v'tokeh, v'taito shechaver, v'meh sheliu. It's a special case. It's got nothing to do, right, on any other limud whatsoever. And therefore, this is extra tutorial, so to speak. We're not learning kal v'chomer, we're not learning kol shekains. This is a separate takan of chachamim, just that people don't behave like bullies, and they respect other people's property, and therefore you make them make a shvua. And therefore we can't learn kol shekains up and down. It's got nothing to do one with the other. Okay, that's the Gemara sort of ends off over there with the possibility that the Mishnah could fit in with Sumchus. Now the Mishnah starts again with somebody, with other Tanaim. Leimah matnitin d'lok Rabbi Yossi. Let's say our Mishnah is not like, interesting. The Gemara, by doing this, so to speak, is just refreshing a lot of other machlokot, right? By trying to prove who our Mishnah is like, it's, for us, it's less important, really, because of what's the difference, right? But for the Gemara's point of view, it's a nice way of bringing all the other machlokot in and seeing how everything sort of fixes and intermixes and puts the whole puzzle together. You see shitot on different points, how they would apply to other concepts as well, like ours. So, Leima, Matnit in the Lok Rabbi Yossi. Not like Rabbi Yossi. Why can't it be like Rabbi Yossi? Right? Now, look quickly at Rashi, the first wide lines there of Rashi. Says Rabbi Yossi, right? Rabbi Yossi lekaman pahamafkid. That's on Daf Lamed Zayin. Okay, Abba Metzia. Says like this: Shnayim shef kiro etzel echad. Two guys each gave money to be looked after. They banked money with somebody. Zeh mane v'zeh matay. One gave 100, one gave 200. Zeh omer, and then they come to claim it. And now they both say zeh matay sheli v'zeh omer matay sheli. They're both saying 100. They're both saying 200 is mine. Now we know that both of them at least gave 100, right? So on the first 100, there's no problem. The question is on the second 100 of the which one of them is claiming isn't his, right? And in that machlok, they will see Lamed Zayin. The Tanakama says, "Noten lezeh mane v'lezeh mane, give them each 100, which is no dispute about. V'hashar yemunach ad shevo Eliyahu, and leave the other 100 aside. And you know, Eliyahu, when he comes, he'll sort it out, right? That's what Tanakama says. Rabbi Yossi says no. Rabbi Yossi says, "Im kain ma'iv shel Ramai." Rabbi says, "If you do that, then the liar hasn't really lost out, because if he only had 100 to begin with." And he's claiming 200, he gets his 100 back. So his second 100, he's happy for you not to get. He's not getting it, he hasn't lost anything. There's no incentive for the liar to do anything because he's got it back. So he says, no. V'lama yode, hare kibel et shelo, he got it. Ela hakol yeh munach v'yafsid haramai v'hachi nami yeh munach. So he says, you know what, we're going to be radical here. We're going to basically punish everybody. Not only is the Ramai not going to get his 100, the other guy's not going to get his money either. All the money's going to stay there until Mashiach comes, and hopefully by this incentive for the Ramai, knowing he's not even getting his 100, he'll admit that the others is not his, and then the guy will get his 200. So it's all basically an idea of a stick, right? Shank to the guy, if you don't admit, not only aren't you going to get your the 200. Right.
Yeah, the other guy has an,
exactly.
The other guy
is, it's proper game theory.
Maybe the guy who really owns the 200 is more important for him to get his money back, so he's going to admit that it wasn't really mine, just so we can get 100 and lose 100.
You're right. You're right. No one's saying that it's foolproof. But at least if we believe that there's an inkling, a nitzotz of a holiness.
No witnesses.
Right, no witnesses. Witnesses is okay, right? And if he's got proof, he can prove it. But if there's nothing, just my word against your word. So like man says, proper game theory here. You put the guy in a position where he's the prisoner, and now he has to work his way out of it. If he's prepared to admit that, you know, he says to himself, listen, I'm going to take 100 now rather than wait and never get anything, he'll back down. If not, you're right. The money will stay there. If they're both hard heads, nothing's going to move, right?
The honest guy loses.
The honest guy can lose. There's a potential that the honest guy loses. Correct. Right. So that's what Rabbi Yossi says. Right? It's not stunned that Uman wrote his whole story around this Mishnah, right? It's proper game theory here. You can see it all coming through. Right? Not that I'm such a game theory expert, but I'm saying I live next to one, but I don't know. Let me look, Rabbi Yossi. Deep Rabbi. So therefore, it's not Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says there, that it should all just stay. So what Rabbi Yossi saying, our Mishnah, look at this. The Rabbi Yossi, ha'amar ika ma'hiv sidramai. In our case, where they're both arguing over the talis, and we're saying, yachloku b'shvua. If they're stealing, then the Ramai gets half that's not his. Right? Let the talis stay there with the guy, this beggar, until Eliyahu comes. So it can't be Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara says, okay, so now we've seen like the same we had yesterday. So even not Rabbi Yossi, so let's say, look, not Rabbi Yossi, but it's the machloket of Rabbi Yossi. And who's cholek Rabbi Yossi? Tanakama, who's that Rabbanan? He says, okay, Elamai Rabbanan. So you tell me now it's Rabbanan, who the Amishnah is like. So he says, Kivan Amir Rabbanan, Hashar Yemunach Achiv Eliyahu. Because don't forget, Rabbanan also said that a portion gets left over till Eliyahu comes. The machloket between Rabbanan and Tana and Rabbi Yossi is only on the first 100 they all agree about. On the second 100, which is in dispute, even Chachamim agree that it should stay behind, right? Till Eliyahu Hanavi comes. So too in our case. Hashar Yemunach Achiv Eliyahu. Hachanami. Hanami. Kishadami. Desfeiki. The other part. Look at Rashi. Hanami. Kishadami. Dahatab. Almana. Hasheni. Haim Dani. Right? In the case of Rabbi Yossi and Chachamim, or Daf Lamed Zayin, there, they argue about that second 100 that's in dispute. In our case, Ve'elu Dani Nala Talit Kula. So the whole talis, for our point of view, is like that extra 100. Because on the first 200, on the first hundreds, with Rabbi Yossi's case, there's no machloket. They each agree that 100's theirs. So that's gone. Take it out the equation. What's left? Just the third 100. That third 100 is like our talis. Our begging is the third 100. There's no dispute on anything else. The only dispute's only on the talis. So it's like only on the last 100. It's the same idea. And on that last 100, they say, leave it to Eliyahu. Say, on our talis, the same story. Even Rabbanan should then say that their talis could be clear. Yes. Look, let's just turn around. Rabbi Yossi in Tanakama is as follows. There's one guy says 100, 200 is mine. Other guy says 200 is mine. We know for certain that they both gave 100. The question is, who gave the extra 100? Right? So on the first 100, if we take it, say like there's 100 and 100 and another 100, like a bar chart, there's 100 here and 100 here and the extra 100 on the top. If we cut the line across the first hundreds, we agree that everybody agrees that each person has got at least 100. So we can take it out of the equation now. Now the whole machloket is left just on the last 100. In our scenario, the same story. The last 100 is the jacket. There's no other machloket. There's only machloket on the last 100. So therefore, on the jacket, it's the last, it's the machloket, the talit. And therefore, that is according to both Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi, right? That will stay. Chachamim say only that stays. Rabbi Yossi says it all stays, but that also stays. So therefore, Rabbanan also says it can't be our Mishnah, because Rabbanan says Yachloku in our Mishnah, and they each get half off. Here they're saying leave it until Mashiach comes, right? The Sveiki, hi. So good ones. Okay. So new. Okay. That's so. Hamai. So what's really going on? So you know what? Yeah, might be Shlomo Rabbanan. Maybe we could say it's Rabbanan. Why? Hatam there with the case of Rabbi Yossi and the money. The vaday ha mani dechad minayuhu. Right? There's no question that 100 belongs to only one of them. come along to both of them. Right? And there, Amar Rabbanan Yemunach Ad Shevo Eliyahu. And in that case, Chacham says, you know, we know for certain that one of you are lying, we're going to leave it there. Aval Hach, in our case, Tikkur Meimah, the Travayu, there is a possibility that it belongs to both of them. Like we said yesterday, right? What? When they both picked it up together. So they both have got a claim, they both picked it up together. In our case, Amar Rabbanan Pligib Pal Gebeshua, here Rabbanan would say, you know what, there we know for a fact that one of you are lying, leave it behind. Here there's a chance that if none of you are lying, split it with a Shvua, so it could be Rabbanan. And what's it? Eliyahu Amar Rabbi Yossi. But now, what about Rabbi Yossi on the other hand? Maybe we could also try and say Rabbi Yossi would fit in as well. Eliyahu Amar Rabbi Yossi. Hashta, we're going to cover Chomer. Uma hatam there with the case of the money. De bevada ikeman lemar, vikeman lemar. Where there was no question about it, that the first 100 was definitely each one owned it. I'm Rabbi Yossi, Amunach Ad Shevo Eliyahu. Rabbi Yossi said, go the whole shot. Even we knew for certain that at least 100 of to belong to each one of them. He was still prepared to leave the whole lot there. Even though knowing that at least 100 belonged to each one of them, he was happy to sacrifice the whole story, right? Here, on the other side of the equation, there's a chance that it only belongs to one of them. So there, when both of them had a stake in the money, he was happy to leave all the money there. Here, there's a good chance that actually only one of them gets it, right? Look, Korshika, isn't he going to say even more so, here, leave it till Eliyahu comes? Okay, let's go over there one more time. In the case of Rabbi, we first looked from Chachamim's point of view. From Chachamim's point of view, we said, Chachamim, right, everyone said that was Rabbanan, right? We said that with regard to Rabbanan, there was no question about it, that each one of them had 100, right? And therefore, and there, Amar Rabbanan, Yemunach Ad Shevo Eliyahu. But here, on the second 100, there was a dispute. Because we know that it belonged to one and didn't belong to the other. And that's why Chachamim said, leave it. But in our case, there's a chance that it could belong to both of them. And therefore, could each one of them could lift it up at the same time. So they've each got the right claim to it. So Chachamim here would agree, you know what, split with the Shvua. That's Chachamim. Now on Rabbi Yossi's side, we go the other way around. We're looking from the other side. Rabbi Yossi there was Makil, but he was Machmir, a more Makil situation. Because what was the more makil situation there? At least 100 belonged to each party. Right? The dispute's only on the second 100. And yet he said all 300 must stay behind.
In order to punish.
In order to punish. His reasons, whatever reasons were. But even though that we knew that each one had a claim to a part of the money, he still said none of you get anything. Where here there's a good chance that only one of them has a claim to the garment and the other's got no claim whatsoever. So if there, when both people had a rightful claim to part of it, here would only one of them might have a claim and one of them might not have a claim, he'd definitely agree here that it's going to leave it until Eliyahu comes. Okay? That's Rabbi Yossi. Where says, no, you know what? I feel like Rabbi Yossi, maybe we can even stretch this and go as far as and find a way to explain it as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned. Why? Hatam, the Gemara gives two answers. Hatam, there, in the case there of Rabbi Yossi with the money, Vada Ikaramai, there's definitely a liar. Because it's impossible that both people have got the 200. On that second 100, only belongs to one person, so somebody here is lying. But Hachem, Yamadi Karamai, right? Maybe now he's taking Rabbanan's argument, right? He's saying they're liars, yeah? They might have both picked it up. They both picked it up. This is now Rabbanan's perspective. So therefore, they're no liars. So maybe Rabbi Yossi would say, you know what, they're no liars. Split with the Shvua. There we know there was a liar. We want to punish the liar. Here, they're no liars. So he might even be able to say that our Mishnah could be like Rabbi Yossi. And or another answer that it could be Rabbi Yossi's. Hatam, there, why did Rabbi Yossi say, leave all the money? Can he slay Rabbi Yossi the Ramai? There he wanted to punish the Ramai. Right? Kihechi deludi, to get him to admit. It was basically just an incentive to get him to admit. Hacha, my psida itle deludi. Here, what loss is there for the guy to have incentivized to admit? There, he had owned something with his money. Here, he found it on the floor. So you know what? So he won't get it. So what? So you're going to punish me now? I found it. It didn't cost me anything. It was lying there on the floor. And now I found it. They tell me not to wait till Eliyahu comes. I'm no bit worse off than I was yesterday. Yesterday I never had it, and now I won't have it today.
That's why it makes sense. In the case of the Talit, they have to do a Shvuah because they, as I said before, practically, it's a takana. They want to prevent somebody from grabbing somebody else's talent and say, hey, it's mine, because I have nothing to lose. If I, you know, I might as well just grab it and say it's mine. Whereas with the money, you don't want to, you want to leave it all behind, because otherwise the guy has an insane, has nothing to lose. He said, you know, I got my 100 back. Right. Well, that also, that extra 100 is also mine. Okay. If I don't get it, I don't get it. Exactly. But if I get it.
So that's sumchus. But yeah, we talking about that works well with sumchus of the splitting. And that, we said Rabbi Yochanan of the takana of the shvuah b'drabanan to do what you're saying. You're right. But now we try and look at it from the perspective of the machloket of Rabbi Yossi and Chachamim. A similar idea, but I'm saying, but from a slightly different angle.
In the case of the talis, how can you say there's no lie? If one guy says I found it, the other guy says I found it.
No, but they're holding. They're both holding. Remember, they're both holding their hands. Fine. So the svar the Gemara is always using is the zahava bina here. Look what the lashon of the Gemara is, right? Because we could say. We've said, well, this has been our lashon over here. The ikka, right, ema tarvayu, both of them, bahade hadade, together, agbua, they picked it up. So they're not lying. If you and I both see something, not a little thing, imagine like a jacket, okay? And we both grab it at the same time. Why are we lying?
No, because of what they say. One guy says, I found it, the other guy says, I found it.
He did.
The fact that they're holding it together doesn't mean that.
But they did it at the same, I did find it and you did find it, we're not lying.
But they could
I found
have,
it and you found it. There's
same.
A good chance.
One is
lying. Do you agree that you, at least if you're the one, then let's move on. Do you agree at least concede to one fact that there is a possibility, however slim in the world it is, that we both saw it, walked towards it, and picked it up in exactly the same second?
So how do you resolve in that situation?
Yeah, but we're talking about Machshua.
Okay. And you split it. They both say, I'm swearing that I haven't got less than half of this.
That's the only resolution.
That's the Mishnah says. But now we're trying to understand who's the Mishnah of our Mishnah. The Halacha, we know the Halacha. We try to understand now who thought about Mishnah, and based on other arguments that they take, their standpoint on other issues around halacha, to see who it could fit in with our Mishnah. And the Asvari is that there is a possibility, as slim as it is, that they both at the exact same second saw it and grabbed it and picked up, and they didn't believe they didn't even see the other guy there. They still can't get over that you were there when they picked it up. They're still shell-shocked from the whole experience. Okay. So now, so he says, how am I absolutely that did it? So the Gemara says, you know what, look, you gave us two answers here of why it could be Rabbi Yossi. They said, Tainach Mitzia. This works all very well when we speak about a Mitzia, right? When you found something, when you say that there's no loss, like as opposed to the money. Remember, our Mishnah, we explained already, our Mishnah speaking about two cases. Our Mishnah speaking about a case of Mitzia and Mekach U'Memkar. Mekach U'Memkar, when you buy something, when you put money out, you've got a stake in it, exactly like the case of the money being deposited. So the Gemara says, like this, Tainach Mitzia. That all works beautifully. The answers you gave about Rabbi Yossi when you're talking about finding stuff. But you're right. My Pseida, what is the loss? But when it comes to money, my killer, my ma, then how do you explain it doesn't work? So the Gemara said, you know what? Ella, we accept the part of the answer of Rabbi Yossi. So Ella Mechuvarta. Rabbi Mechuvarta means, right? Mechuvarta is like white and clear. It's perfect. It's beautiful. It's barur. Kedeshaninan mikara. Probably how we learned the first one. In other words, the Gemara gave two answers to Sumchus, to Rabbi Yossi. It said, Hatam vara ikaramai, hachemiyemai, who says that there might not be a liar? And the other answer we said, inami, with regard to the knas. He says, you know what? We accept the first one of that there might not be a liar here, and therefore it might be Rabbi Yossi. Now the Gemara's got a kashya on that. Now the Gemara says, wait a second. Bain Rabbanan, Bain Rabbi Yossi, whether it's Rabbanan or Rabbi Yossi, right? Rabbi Yossi says you only leave behind the third 100 in dispute. Rabbi Yossi says you leave behind all the money in dispute. Hatam gabechen vania pinkaso. Now we're going to this case which we brought yesterday, which I apologize at the beginning of the shiur for skipping over so quickly. Right, we're talking here about the chen vania pinkas. Now, where was chen vania pinkas yesterday? Did we skip it over? Maybe it was Rashi. You know what? I think Rashi brought the Chenvani Bapinkas. Okay, so let's discuss it now. What's the Chenvani Bapinkas? The Chenvani and his books, right? In other words, the Chenvani, the shopkeeper, is a guy who's got cash on him. That's really the principle here. He's, you know, you go into a greengrass, he's got a till, right? He's got cash. So the Barabayit right, maybe it's his landlord, comes to him and says, listen, do me a favor, pay my worker for me. I've got cash on me to take out of your till now, I don't know, 100 shekels, whatever the case, he's paying for me and I'll pay you later. Look at Rashi quickly.
Were we looking at the Rashi?
Look at Rashi, this is from the Rashi, yeah. Hatam Hainu Taima, right? My Ita Gabba Sakhir Lo Mehmet. Where is it? No Rashi on the screen, when you think I saw. There's no Rashi. And maybe the Gemara explained inside. Look here. Hatam Gabi Chemani Apinkaso, Diktani, yeah, in the Gemara. Zenish Bavin Hotel, Venish Bavin Hotel. No, so where is the Rashi on Pinkas? Okay, it's not a story. It was in the Rashi yesterday. It's in Rashi yesterday. Well, the story is as follows.
Rashi in Shavuos.
Here we are. Look, go to Rashi on Daf Bet Amud Bet. I saw that yesterday. That's why I thought it was yesterday. Go to Rashi on Daf Bet Amud Bet. Right, can you see there's the law ke benanas? Mm-hmm. Here we had benanas yesterday?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we said they definitely have a case of Shavuot. So this is the story. Benanas is followed. But second Shavuot, Daf Bet Amud Aleph. Gabechen Baniya Pinkaso. Elu ve'elu ve'in le'beitin. Amunat li'shava. They come to Beitin to swear. What's the story, yeah? Echad me'em le'shav. And there, remember we said yesterday, we spoke about bananas, we said that when there's a case when two people are arguing, and the one's right and the one's wrong, and they're going to make a shvua, one is going to make a shvua l'shav. And we said, you look to say Hashem and Shechel l'shav, you don't invoke God's name in vain, and therefore there's a problem. What's the story over here? Amar bala bayit lachin vani, Rashi says, ten lebeni chitim bedina v'ala l'shalem. But that's not our case now, right? Oh, this is our case. Or lepoalim b'sela ma'ot, give them a seller of ma'ot, Shani Chaya Bisham, I owe them for their wages. V'alai li ten seller. And I'm going to pay you the seller. Now, who omer natati? Who omer natati? Who omer lo natalti? Right, so the shopkeeper says, natati, I paid the guy your wages. V'hu omer lo natalti? And the worker said, I never took the wages. What are you talking about? I never took the wages. Right? Ushnehem tovinet balabai. Now, both of them got a claim. The shopkeeper says to the balabai, you owe me the money, I paid him. The worker says to the balabayit, you owe my wages, he didn't give it to me. The balabayit now got to pay twice, right? And somebody's lying. Right? I'm a benanas, kait alu baini da shvuot shav, elashnehem notrim below shvuot. That's where benana said that you can't make them swear because one of them is going to make a shvuot shav. One of them is lying. So therefore, let them just pay them both and no shvuot, right? So now look at our Gemara. So now it's like it's between Rabbanan. Now we're going to take Benanas' case from yesterday. So now the Balabait has to pay both of them. Both of them. The Balabait has to pay both of them. He can then afterwards go and claim, sue. Right? He can go and sue. In the meantime, he's going to pay the Chenbani back and he's going to pay the. So it's the Machloket. Rabbanan said with the Shvua. Benanas said without a Shvua. Okay? That was the Machloket yesterday. So now, in our Gemara over here, we're now taking Rabbi Yossi and Chachamim. Who in their case is about the 300 shekels, the 300 money being deposited with somebody, and we're applying it now to the yesterday's case of Benanas with the Shavua.
So the shopkeeper has to prove that he gave the money. Okay, so
the shopkeeper, you'll see now. Wait 1 second, you'll see what happened. The Gemara is very clear why they make a Shavua. This is a separate case here. Here we rely on a Shavua, David. That's the Machloket. Chachamim say you can make a Shavua. Right? Without what you love a but the Gemara will give you a spiral. It's a good spiral. Look what happens. Okay, the Tani is the Nishbav Notel and Nishbav Notel, right? Each one takes it. That's going to Chacham in the Halacha, yeah. The Gemara says, Mashna, de lo amrina nafken amon barabait, v'yeh munach ad shavu liyahu. Why didn't the Gemara say there, exactly like with Rabbi Yossi? So you know what? We don't know what the story is. Barabait, take your 200 mana now and give it to a third party until Mashiach comes. None of you are going to get the money. All three of you now are not going to have the money. The shopkeeper is going to claim he's owed the money. He won't get the money. The worker is going to claim he's owed the money. He won't get the money. The balabait, who accepted the responsibility in the first place, is going to take that money. He's going to put it with a third party till Mashiach comes. Why didn't we say that? Seems like a good solution, right? So look at this, right? The Havada Ikaramai. Rabbi Yossi's whole argument was, why must the money all stay there? Because one of them are lying. It's definitely a liar here. Someone's lying. It can't be that the Balabai, the Chenvani, paid the worker and the worker never got the money. Either he paid him and the worker's lying, or he didn't pay him and the Chenvani's lying. Somebody's lying, right? So Amrei Hatam Hainu Tana. This is the reason why it wouldn't work, why we couldn't say that. The Amalech in the Barabayit, the shopkeeper says to the Barabayit, Anishlichuta Didachka Avidna. Ah, basically, mate, I'm your shaliach. Don't get me involved now in your worker. My Itli Gabe Sakhir. What's his story to me? Afal Gav the Mishtabeli. Even if he makes a shvua, and he swears that he never got his money. Lo Mahemedi Bishvah. I don't trust this guy. This guy's a liar. We spoke about it yesterday already. That the whole concept of shvua only works if the guy's honest. Yeah. If the shvuas mean something. If I don't trust him from the outside, that says a liar now, then I don't believe his shvua anyhow. So li abadjud in shvuas. Right? And he says to him, worse than that, he says, Ate Minte, you believed him. You the problem. Why did you believe him? Because Lo Amartli, but Sahade Havle. You never said this guy's a shaky character. When you pay him the wages, make sure there are two witnesses there to make sure you paid him. Had I known that, I would have done that and not been. It's not my problem. You said he's an honest guy. Pay the money. I paid him. Think he's all in good faith. Now I'm going to be out of pocket because I was your shaliach. It's not my money. It's your money. Give it to me. Right? The Sakhir, on the other hand, the Sakhir says the same thing. Nami Amrei Balabait. Ana Avdi. Avdi Tegabach. I am your worker and I did my job for you. My Itli Gabe Chenvani. I've got no relationships with this Chenvani. Who's he to me? Afa gav de mishtabeli, and the same thing. If he swears to me that he paid me, lo mehemani, I don't believe any. Right? Therefore, the Gemara says, hilchach tarvayu mishtabei v'shaklein balabait. Therefore, we're not going to get anywhere here. So therefore, they both make a shvua, and who pays? The balabait. Because as far as the balabait is concerned, they both neeman lo. He's his worker, and he trusted him because he never told the chenvani to get 280. And as far as therefore the worker can make a shvua and the balabait have to believe him. And the chenvani, the worker, obviously the balabait trusted him because he said, yeah, give him the money. Right? And he had trusted him as well, he would pay him. So therefore he makes a shvua and he gets the money, we walk away into the circle. Yeah, they make a shvua. Each one makes a shvua to the, and the balabait has to pay. The balabait now pays twice.
So each one's making a shvua. One of them's making a false shvua.
But you can see there's a spara to argue on either side why they can't make it to each other. Okay, that's end of that sugya. Now we're going to a new sugya. Now this is a new sugya. You have to start writing here, Michael.
Yeah.
Okay. This sugya here is, we spoke about it a lot, right? And that is mode b'miktzat chay v'shvua, right? If you admit to a portion of the claim, you chay b'shvua. The Gemara says like this. Tani Rabbi Chia says as follows, right? And this comes from later on, we'll see also on Shabbos, daf on Shabbos. Manli b'yadach, right? One guy says, you owe me 100. I've got 100 shekels deposited with you. V'hala omer en rabbiyadi klum. You got, no, you're talking about, you're not with me, right? Now it's not him that's bought him a miktzat. Now suddenly Adim come along and say, no, you've got 50 with him. What does he say there, Rabbi Chia? Noten lo chamishim zuz v'yishaval ashar. You first give him the 50 that the Adim say that you've got, and on the balance, the outstanding amount, you make a shvua. Basically like the body of miktzat. You pay what you agree to, and you'd make a shvua on the balance. Exactly. He don't want to mitzvah, right? The Adim were more there for him, so to speak.
The Adim have proved that the guy's lying.
The Adim have said that he's a more of a mitzvah. Well, he's actually a liar. The Adim are only saying he's a liar on half.
Are they saying he's a liar, or are they just saying they only know about 50?
Well, okay, whatever the case is, whatever they're saying, they're only saying on half.
Right.
Right? So therefore, Rav Chia says that you treat it like a modern mitzvah. You treat it as if he admitted a half. Okay, let's get into the sugya. And what's the svara? Shelo tehei hoda'at piv gedola mihada'at edim, and that's all based on a kavachomer. What's hoda'at piv? If the guy said himself, what it makes it, I admitted to half, I'd have to make a shvur, right? So now we can't have a situation, right? He says, shelo. Right, what's his argument?
Here, there is a modeh miktzat, or there's no modeh?
There's no modeh miktzat. But he's saying, why do you treat it like a modeh miktzat? Because you can't have a situation where his mouth has got more strength than Adim. Adim are strong, Adim are Adim. You kill people with Adim, put people to death. So yeah, a guy, when he's modeh miktzat with his own mouth, he's chayav, have to pay half, make a shvua. If Adim say he's chayv half, then certainly he's also going to make a shvua. Otherwise, you're undermining the principle of Adim.
Why doesn't the claimant make a shvua that I swear you actually owe me this money?
Remember, we always said that a shvua is based on the fact that you pay, you make a shvua not to pay. You don't make a shvua to pay. Remember, that was the principle we learned about Bakam already. That's right. We had an exception. What was that one case?
I remember there was one.
Okay. I don't remember what it was either. Okay, let's carry on. I thought you were going to help us and enlighten us, and Mark could write it down. All right. And what's the svara that Rabbi Chiya is giving here from a Kavah Chomer? We don't know yet what the Kavah Chomer is. So, Vatana Tunin, he says, our Mishnah, we've seen this last one a lot in Tanin Baba Kamara. Vatana Tunin, right? And we learn from our Mishnah. Basically, we have help from our Mishnah who proves this. What does our Mishnah say? Shnayim ochazin betalit, zilmer ani metzatir, vezilmer ani metzatir, right? Each one is saying that it's mine. And what do we say in the end? Yishva, v'yachloku, they make a shvur and they split it. Now, how is this like our Mishnah? Look what he says, yeah? V'ahacha, kevan de tafis, since we see the guy holding it, anan sahadeh. We are the witnesses. The my the tafis high didehu, umay the tafis high didehu. In other words, anan sade. We are like Adib. Could we see the guy holding it? We're witnessing that he's actually holding it. He says it's mine. He says it's mine. Each one saying it's mine. So we witnesses to the half that he says is his. So we testifying that he only owns half, which means the other guy has the other half. You got it? So we witnesses that he actually owes the other guy half. And in a case like that, we said, you make a shvu and you split. So therefore we see when Adim come along and say that you owe the guy half, you make a shvu. Okay? It's a bit of a...
We're the witnesses in the...
We are the witnesses. And inside of the whole world, the witnesses. We see a guy, two guys holding a talis, each holding it. So we are the witnesses that each of them has half of their talis. If they only have half, that means the other guy has half. Just let your... Just go with it, right? So it's very clever. I mean, I accept that it's gymnastics. Right? So that is, look here, you want to see the Rashi, the Anansai, we're running out of time here, that's only a problem. Anansahade, the Mada Tafis high, Hainu Palga. That's what Rashi says. We see that, therefore, what he's holding is half. Right? Didayu sharei muchzak hu befaneinu, vehu tovet kula, vechaberu koferet kula, shomer kula sheli, v'af ma she'ata tafus biyadcha, v'anu me'edim oto, we are witnesses, she'yesh lo ba'amitzad, he's got a bit. U'mechayv v'nechaberu shvu al ha'shar, dahayinu chetzi she'kev la'atzmo. Exactly like I explained it, right? So the Gemara says, okay, so there we understand. The Gemara says, what's this? She'lo tehei hoda'at pi v'dulami hoda'at what does it mean, says the Gemara? This is quite simple. Shalotomar hodat pivhu derami rachmanu shvualei. We must say, we don't want to come along and say that it's only when he speaks with his own mouth that there's a shvua. Right? Right? And why? What are we worried about? Who would say that it's only when it's his own words that he makes a shvua? We've seen this as well. Kederava. Right? This comes from Baba Kama. This Vava over here is Ketubot Gittin and Baba Kama. Right, in Gedub and Kedub, this is important. The Amar Rabbi, my Amar Torah, Mod Mikzata Tani Yeshava. Why is the Svara? Mod Mikzata Mekha Shvua. Chazoka, Ein Adam Me'iz Panav Ivnei Balchov. That's what I like you, please write down. Ein Adam Me'iz Panav Ivnei Balchov. Right? A person doesn't act with contempt. What is that? Me'iz Panav? With brazenly. Right? In front of the guy who he owes money to. V'hai b'kule b'aydin nechbere. And really, he wanted to deny all of it. The only reason why he didn't say, I don't owe you anything, is because of that principle that a guy isn't brazen in front of a guy he owes money to. So therefore, in actual fact, because he wasn't brazen, he really wanted to admit to all of it. So the guy really, he wouldn't have admitted to any of it, but because he can't say he wants to admit to all of it. But what's the problem? He hasn't got the money. Remember, we learned this recently. He hasn't got the money to pay you. Right? Vahaba kule bai, he wants to admit it. Vahai de lo odi, why doesn't he admit it? Ishtamutehu de kam ishtamet mine, he hasn't got the money. He hasn't got the ability to pay you. Therefore, savar adahabuli zuze, upra, he says, you know what, let me buy some time. I'll tell you, I only owe you half of it. Every time I pay you the half, you'll get off my back. I'll go and find the other half, and I'll come back and I'll pay you. The guy's intentions are good. V'amarachman, and there says the Torah, Rami Shvua Alei. Why? Ki hechi delod lebekule, to incite, to encourage him to pay it all. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said, a rabbi said. That was rabbi, right? Right? Kedarabba, that was rabbi. But in Adim, what would Ahava Amina be? It's not Shayach. Because if he's lying to you and says, I don't owe you anything, and Adim come along and say, no, he only owes you half, then the guy's a liar. Mm-hmm. So therefore, if a guy's a liar, we said yesterday, we don't want him to even make a shvua, we don't trust his shvua. Right? Aval Hadat Adim. We can't say this. There's no incentive now. The guy didn't really want to admit to all of it. He hasn't got the money. He was just lying. I'm a law. We don't make him say a shvua. Kamash melan kalvachomer. We do make him make a shvua as a kalvachomer. So we haven't yet worked. No, we don't know what the kalvachomer is yet, right? But we understand now why we said what we said. Shelo tomar hoda'at piv. Rami Rachman shvua. Hoda'at piv. Right? Is gedolim mihadat adim. We don't want to say that because we could have thought that hoda'at piv is greater than adim. Because hoda'at piv, the guy really wants to admit it all, but he hasn't got the money. Wherefore adim come along. And they haven't got a party plan at all. They just prove that he's a liar. Right? So we sit from another group and says, okay, my kavachomer. So what's this kavachomer you're speaking about, right? My kavachomer says like this. Uma piv, she'ein mechaivo mamon mechaivo shvua, his mouth, what's this piv? Right? In other words, why's the kavachomer? When we say that there's a kavachomer, what we mean is that the eidim are stronger than piv, than his mouth. And therefore, if the mouth makes you make a shvua, then certainly Adim will make you make a shvua. So how do we see that Adim are greater than Piv? So like this, Umay Piv, She'ein mechaivo mamun, mechaivo shvua. Your mouth, by admitting something, look at Rashi, Piv she'ein mechaivo mamun, behod ato, we'll explain just now. We'll explain what it means. Adim she'mechaivo to mamun. But if Adim come along and say that this guy owes you money, we trust the Adim, right? So Adim are stronger than your mouth, because if you just admit to something, you can't force a guy to pay his own admission. But if Adim come, you can force him, right? If certainly there, if on his own volition, when he's more of a mitzvah, he's chayv in a shvua. If Adim come, he'll certainly be chayv with a shvua, because Adim, we said, is stronger than that. And what he says, oh, piv, Adim, chayv, mamon. What do you mean, piv, Adim, chayv, with his mouth, he can't pay money? Of course he can pay money. If a guy admits that he owes money, he pays the money. What are you talking about? He says, no, the grammar corrects itself and says, no. We've got to clarify, my mamon knas. A guy doesn't pay a knas with his own admission, he only pays the keren. Right, but Adim can make him get a knas. So Adim are stronger. Well, my piv she'ein mechaivo knas, chaivo shvua. Adim she'mechaivin to knas, elin she'mechaivin to shvua. So therefore, we see that the shvua is stronger. So therefore, we've proven now that a piv, that Adim are stronger than piv, and therefore we've got a kavachomer of Adim being stronger than piv from this idea of knas. Now remember the din. If we can prove a pircha in the kavachomer, we can challenge the whole kavachomer falls. Right, like a pirch is a challenge, a question on it. If we can put a gap into this kavachomer. Our concept now is that hadat piv, hadat adim is greater than piv. Why? Because we proved it from the story of knas. If we can see that somewhere along the line, piv, his mouth, is stronger than adim, then we can't have a kavachomer anymore. Because we can say maybe it's because piv is stronger than adim. Right? We at the moment have to prove that in all circumstances, adim are stronger than piv. All right.
If he admits that I
admit to you, I pays Karen. No knas. We saw it, we'll see in a second now, where the guy was Nishba and then Hode. Remember, he paid the knas and the Chomesh. Karen and the Chomesh, and he bought a. We'll see in a second. Remember that in Baba Kama? No. Where we said Nishba, he Nishba that it wasn't his. Then Hoda, Nishba Vahoda, Chazar Bo Vahoda, and then he paid a knas and the Chomesh, and he had to bring a Korban Rasham. Where if Adim came, he only had to pay the Karen, remember? Mm. Or maybe, right? Kefil, maybe. I think they're right, but it was less than if he had, if, right? So my piv she'en mechaivo knas, mechaivo shvua, Adim she'mechaivo knas, and Adim she'mechaivo shvua. So when it says, my, what's going on here? Why is it the case? My lefiv, we've got a case over here now where fiv is stronger than Adim. My lefiv she'ken mechaivo korban, right? His fiv is mechaivo korban. Right? What's the story with a korban? If a guy admits that he did an aveira, which he be chayev karet for, b'mezid, they did it b'shogeg, he brings a korban chatat. right? Piv mechayv oto korban. Tomorrow by Adim, she ain't mechayv oto korban. Adim can't force you to bring a korban. If Adim come along and say to you, you did something but b'shogeg, that's not good. You can't just for look at the Kohen. The Kohen, the Kohen, the Kohen says, "Halo kashia." That's not a kashia. Why then a kashia? Because Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Meir, Svirelei, Rabbi Chia holds like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says the Adim can force you to bring a korban, chatat. If the Adim prove that you did an avera b'shogeg, so therefore it doesn't work. The kashia doesn't work, right? The pirul doesn't work. The Amar Adim mechayv to korban mechal v'chomer, because Rabbi Meir says that Adim on mechayv korban v'chomer. It's not. The Mishnah is as follows, right? This Mishnah comes from Yevamot. But he says the Amru Lo Shnayim. If two people say to you, "Achal techeiliv," you ate chaylev, and it's Isur Deraita to eat chaylev, right? You thought that it was shuman. Let's say that it was the fat of the animal. Actually, it was the chaylev of the animal. Two people come along and tell you chayev. Who amir lo achalti? And he said, "I never ate it," right? Who amir lo achalti? That's what's very important over here, right? He says, "I didn't eat it," right? Look at Rashi there. Who amir lo achalti? Patur. He's patur bringing a korban. Why is patur bringing a korban? He had a migo, David. Patushaya yachol lomar meizid ayiti. So you know what? You tell me I ate it by mistake, I'm chayav korban. I didn't eat it by mistake. I ate it on purpose. I'm chayav karet. And if he's chayav karet, he's patur from a korban. Right? So he could have got out of the korban by saying I ate it on purpose. Look at Rashi. Vayiti v'yifatem min korban. Af kesham lo achalti patur demar l'shaker. If the guy said he didn't eat it, we believe him, because why would he lie? He could have said, I ate it on purpose. He was going to lie. I said, it's like, we haven't got time to get about it.
He would never say that.
Why not?
To be
because that defaming himself.
Why defaming himself?
He said, I did a very
good. So you saw me eating it. The korban's going to cost him big money. He had to go buy an animal and come to Bel Midrash and shecht it. He didn't make karet. He'll deal in Yom Kippur.
No, he's defaming himself.
But it's okay, but I mean, the idea is that he could have got out of the korban, right? Right, absolutely. Exactly. Yeah, but so David's saying that David's saying it looks like a Russia. Okay, that's why I never said. I said it's luck.
Okay,
sorry that I wasted a few minutes to saying it's luck. I shouldn't have said it. I apologize. I won't do it again. Okay, right. But okay. So okay. Thank you. Right. So in every Yushtayim, he could have got out of it. And Rabbi Meir says no. Mechayev, and Chachamim say that you chayim in the korban. Chachamim say you put him in the korban. So and I'm Rabbi Meir. In every Yushtayim. So now, so goes like as I'm Rabbi Meir, im heavy. So Rabbi Meir's got a kavachomer, right? Because he said, "Adi mechayv to korban mi kavachomer." What's Rabbi Meir's kavachomer for this? Rabbi Meir says as follows: I'm Rabbi Meir, im heavy uhu shnayim lidei mita chamura. Adim can kill you if you bring Adim, they put you to death, right? Loya viu lidei korban akel. You're not going to tell me the Adim can't make me a korban. Obviously they can. So Amru lo, that's Rabbi Meir, ma im yirtze lomar meizid, ayiti pater. But he just simply could have got out of it. And therefore, Chachamim said to him, we don't agree, because he could have got out of it, even though David's saying he makes himself into a rasha, he could have been happy to pay the price of being a rasha and save the costs of the korban. So now, the Gemara says, okay, let's give another kal v'chomer, right? So I've got a kashya now, another kashya on the kal v'chomer. Our kal v'chomer we said was that we're trying to prove that piv, that Adim is more chayv than piv. The first kashya we brought here was from the story of the pear is mechayv in a korban, Adim not. We saw that Meir says that he can be chayv in a korban. Another kashya to try and see if we can uproot this kal v'chomer. Elamala fiv, shekain mechayvo asham. That's our sugi in Baba Kama, right? Look at Rashi there. Ma'ab piv. Where is it? Help me, yeah? Chomesh. The Rashi says Chomesh v'asham, but it's only Asham, right? Shepiv Asham. Im nishba v'kafar mamon. He was nishba, lying that he never owed money. V'hoda. Then he went back and he admitted that he barely was lied. Ketivo mikol asher yishava alav l'shaker. Right? There, he admits it. And his mouth, the fact that he said words, caused him to bring an Asham. So he says, let's not go there. Asham ha'inu korban. That's the same as korban. It's the same machloket as the previous machloket. Let's not get involved in Asham. Asham is korban. Really, see that Rabbi Meir said that the Aiden can't make me a korban. Same story. Then he says, okay, you know what? You're right. In that same halacha, the guy was chomesh and korban and chomesh. Chumash was an extra 25% that he brought, right? So the Gemara says, "Hi, look, Kasha. That's still not an Kasha. Why, Harabi Chia? On the contrary, he admits it. He's chayv the chomesh. With Eidim, he's not chayv the chomesh.
Normally, if you admit it, you're not chayv the.
We saw in our case nishba.
He sweared and then he admitted.
When we had a special case of nishba v'hode, he was chayv chomesh and korban, right? So there it was nishba with his mouth and hode with his mouth. Not with Eidim. When the Eidim came, wasn't chayv the chomesh. I said, no, halo kasha. Rabbi Chia Krabi Meir, same story. Svir lei. Ki echidim chayv le korban mikav chomesh, chayv le chomesh mikav chomesh. Rabbi Meir said the same thing. The korban, chomesh, all the same story. Eidim can force you to do it as well. Right? So now, the Gemara asked the fourth and final question of the Kavah Chomer, and this is the knockout. Okay, on this, the Gemara accepted it. Like it says, Elamai lefiv. I'm going to prove to you now that fiv is actually stronger than Eidim. Elamai lefiv, shechen eino b'hakchasha b'hazama. Right? Tomorrow, b'Eidim, shechen b'hakchasha b'hazama. Now, we know what Eidim zomim imar. Eidim zomim imar, when the Eidim come along and they witness, they give Eidut. Other witnesses come along and say, you couldn't have given that testimony because you were with us at that day. And therefore, the first Eidim are bounced out, and we say the Eidim. If a person makes an admission, and he admits to something with his own mouth, 100,000 Eidim can come along and say, how could you have said that you're with us? There's no such concept as Eidim Zomimim when it comes to a Yachid admitting to his own. So we see that he can't be...
guilt.
Yeah?
His own guilt.
You know, I admit to something, I say you owe him... Well, what's what a mitzvah chayb? If I say like this... Let's look at Rashi, helps us out here with an example. Look at Rashi there. Eino b'kasha. Im hodalo b'mane. Right? Ubao eidim v'chishu lomar encha chayav lo klum. Right? Here it says that you admits that he owes a money. Right? And then eidim come along and they say to him, you don't owe anything. And if they b'kachto hodat ba'al din kemah eidim. He admits that he owes money. Eidim comes and say, you don't owe money.
Is that a
right? Situation? Right? We don't accept the Eidim because he said it first. On the other hand, look at Rashi. She'im ba'u shnayim Eidim v'kishu ozimum and z'mesharim amun apim. On the other hand, if one guy says, if Eidim answers and say, he owes money, and other Eidim come along and say, he doesn't owe the money, he doesn't owe the money. The second Eidim bounce out the first Eidim. Where if I admit that I owe you money, and Adam Kalong says, no, he doesn't owe you money, we don't ignore that. They take it the other way around, accept
so
it, right? It's not a straightforward case. So his piv, yeah, is stronger than Adam. So therefore, the Kavah Chomer, no, but all we have to do in Kavah Chomer is prove one set of circumstances that piv is stronger than Adam. We can say, that's why, yeah, the piv is strong, because piv is strong. So we bounced it out, the Gemara backs down and says, you know what, I accept that. Elia, let's find another reason of why we're going to say what we're going to say. Ela atia mi eid echad. Right? Ela atia mi eid echad. What's the eid echad? Uma eid echad. She'ein mechaivo mamon mechaivo shvua. Eidim she'mechaivin oto mamon. Ein odin she'mechaivin oto shvua. Right? Ein odin she'mechaivin oto shvua. In other words, if we just said, if eid echad, right, can't make him pay money, but they can make him make a shvua. So then surely Eidim that can make him pay mamon should have to also make him make a shvua. And that's why we have a case over here where Rabbi Chia started off and said, we end up the whole thing, he says over here, he says Rabbi Chia, manali biyadach, right, shelote hoda'at piv gedola mi'adat Eidim mikava chomer, because we've got a kava chomer that Eidim are stronger than hoda'at piv. Right, because you've got a case of here, ma'ed echad, she'ein mechav mamon mechav shvua, eidim shvachanu to mamon, that obviously can also make him mechav shvua. Let's quickly answer, the Gemara gives one answer, we finish it now, it's got 1 minute. Ma'le eid echad, the Gemara says no, the Gemara has got a kashi on this, right? Ma'le eid echad, she'kein amashu me'id hu nishba. Tomar ba'edim, shamashe kafar hu nishba. We've got a big kashi here, right? This is not exactly the same. Because what is, with the eid echad, right, is nishba, right? He is nishba on what he's admitting. He said, I only owe you half, and I'm making a shvua, I only owe you half. When Eidim come, what do they say? Look at Rashi, V'yamale et echad, klomar, heichi yalaf de shvua de shnayim yishvua et echad, male et echad, shekena ma sheha'ed me'id hu nishba lakhosho. Right? B'shvua, The Eidim, she'en nishba ma she'idu, ela ma she'lo he'idu, va'kfirato hu nishba. On the other hand around, when Eidim come along, they say, yes, I owe you money. They say, you owe 200. He's making a shvua on what they saying, on the opposite of what he's saying. His shvua of one is he makes a shvua what he's admitting to. With Eidim, he's making a shvua against what he's admitting to, against their argument. Okay, okay.